Chapter number 9. Last Sunday, we had a bunch of folks laughing at Jesus, and they still do it, but it ain't going to profit nothing. The Word of God is true. The promises of God are yea and amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word will not pass away. The devil will huff and growl and go to and fro, but he's defeated. There was one in Revelation that was worthy to open the book. It was a lamb, lion, savior, king. Amen. We're studying about the life of Christ, and it's a wonderful. In this one little section of scripture here, we've been reading. We read several miracles in here. How many feel like the day of miracles is not over? For he is the same. It's like I told that good Baptist brother. He was a good fella. But when he tried to talk me out of the Holy Ghost, I told him, you might as well just hush. I've already got it now. You ain't going to talk me out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I asked him, I said, do you think anybody ever did get the Holy Ghost in the history of mankind? Oh, yeah, they got the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. I said, well, if anybody ever could, they still can, can't they? We all didn't even say anything. That's about the way he looked at me when I... Yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we read about here where this man full of faith said, my daughter is dead, but if you'll come and lay your hand on her, she'll live. Boy, that's faith now, no doubt about it. While he was on his way to Jairus' house, another little woman came up through the crowd and pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. She had been sick with an issue of blood for 12 long years. She'd spent everything she had. She ran out. She couldn't afford, amen, her Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield no more, amen. And so she just touched the Lord, and just a touch by faith, because here's what she said. Just like Jairus said, if you'll come and touch her, she'll be better. This woman said, if I can but touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Don't ever count the miracle out as long as Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And he was dead, but he's alive forevermore. And as long as he's alive, we do not have to settle down into a life of sickness and sorrow and defeat. We can pray and believe God with potential that he could turn it around. Hallelujah. Y'all got to believe this now. It's the truth. How many knows this is the truth? Now, I want us to notice here, of course, he healed the woman. And then he turned, he went to Jairus' house. And when he got there, they had mourners, and they were all weeping and crying, and he put them out. And he said, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Amen. I feel like this morning that I know we have a formidable task. And life is hard at times. Lots of people are lost. There's 6 billion people in the world. And vast, 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 vast majority of them do not know God. Amen. There's sickness and sorrow and heartache. Amen. In our world. And I know I've preached this over and over and over and over. But what needs to happen is there needs to be a move among us It's going to start with God's people that will move in such a manner that it'll get beyond these four walls. Now when this girl was raised from the dead, people began to talk about it. How many knows that people talk? And they got to talking about it. And when they began to talk about this, I don't know if they'd even printed it today in the newspaper. It's too good a news. But brother, the news got around. Hey, did you hear about the girl that'd been dead down there? Her daddy went and got this Jew, and he came in there and took her by the hand, and she had been dead, and she just got right up off of that couch, and she's alive right now. Hallelujah. How many thinks that we need a revival, that this world will be convinced that there's a higher power? Well, y'all going to help me preach a little bit this morning? This is the train I feel like riding here this morning. Amen. But, the Bible said good news from a far country is like cool waters to a thirsty soul. Amen. What we need is the good news of the gospel. She was dead, but now she lives. Praise God. And so it was noised abroad in all the land. The fame hereof went abroad into all the land. You remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they had a big gathering and said a lot of the people came to see Christ. Many of them came to see this Lazarus that had been in the ground. No, he'd been buried for 4 days. Amen. But now he is up. And you say, well, if we could have that, then we could have revival if somebody get raised from the dead. Well, how many knows what Jesus told that man in hell? He said, now look, your brothers are not going to believe though one were raised from the dead. Amen. They had done established in their heart. But brother, I'll tell you, we can preach the gospel. How many knows that probably better than a man being raised from the dead naturally? Amen. Is how God can use a man that is raised from the dead spiritually. Amen. That where he could, like the young boy that they put on trial and say, who was it that gave you your sight? We know you were blind. We know that. Amen. Because, we've all seen you begging out here, and we know you were a blind man. Well, who healed you? He said, well, I haven't really seen him. He told me to come and wash, and his name was Jesus. And they said, oh, Jesus couldn't heal you. He's a sinner. He said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know one thing. Amen. He healed my blinded eyes. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. I tell you, amen, there's still a message. Amen. Of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. When you get it in your heart just right, amen, the Son of God, amen, or the Bible said, you are an open epistle, amen, read of all men. Paul said, you are the proof of what I'm saying. You are a living illustration of what the gospel is. I wish I could preach to you this morning. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs, I believe it is, that talks about a corrupt fountain. And it says, when the righteous falling down before the wicked. When a righteous man, I know people get this eternal security thing in their mind. But they need to look a little deeper into that now. Because the Bible says that a righteous man can fall and fail. Amen. Ezekiel 3 talked about if we didn't warn the righteous man and he sinned, then his blood would be on our hands. Amen. He said his righteousness will be remembered no more. And so we got to. And the Bible said that the righteous man falling down before the wicked. Now, you listen to me now. Amen. I'm preaching to us. I want you to look at what I'm saying. Amen. It says, if a righteous man falls down before the wicked, it has become as a corrupt fountain, a troubled fountain, and a corrupt spring. Now, you say, well, what does that mean, a troubled fountain? That means, you're used to a spring. Anybody ever raised where you got your water in the spring? Amen. And if something got in that spring, blocked that spring off, or polluted that, then there was trouble all the way down the creek. Come on now. I read that That old preacher, I've read that old sermon over and over and over, where that old preacher said, if you want a clear stream, you got to go up there and get the hog out of it. Huh? Yeah, that's pretty simple, isn't it? And that's what happened here. Christ went in here and did good. How many knows that good is a positive, amen, light to this lost and dying world? Amen. God wants us, amen, once he touches us, amen, he wants that to go abroad out there in the world. Amen. And when the world's wondering, amen, how did this happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Amen. The Son of God touched my life. Amen. That's why when the singers sing, amen, before they ever get blessed or anybody brags on their music. Amen. They want them to know, hey, amen, the Lord did this. Amen, Brother Jeff. I mentioned other night, Brother Jeff, what they asked about. They wanted to meet the man that changed it. And Brother Jeff, you gave him a great answer. Amen. The man that changed me, amen, is up above. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, they had seen a change in Brother Jeff's life. Somebody help this preacher. I'll tell you what, we need to get a rumor started. I said, we need to get a rumor started. Amen. Through this world, that the Son of God is pure and holy and true, and he can change your life. Woo, boy, I tell you, the devil seems like he's got his crew. Huh? I'll tell you what, I'm excited about the Lord, and I'm excited about the gospel. Amen. Let's look a little bit more of this scripture here. And he says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now we're going to move on. Now look here. When Jesus departed, now I want you to get, are you looking at this? I want you to get what happened here. Okay, he starts out by a man, Jairus, that stops him in the road and says, my daughter. And then a woman on the way presses through and touches him. And then he heals Jairus' daughter. And now, as he leaves, I want you to look what happens. He didn't hardly get out of the house. Two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me, or on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And now listen to this. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They couldn't hold it. They couldn't. Do you think? Now you say, well, why? Well, first, let's look at this. It's a pretty simple preaching, but it's so powerful. I want you to notice that he asked them the question, and that would have to be the first question. You know, I don't how much oil have we used here, and we just do the little dab of do you. You know, we don't pour oil like they did in the Bible. People get all shook up over that dry cleaning bills and stuff. You know, but how many have we? But you know, really, when you come, and I've had people, some charlatan somewhere who wasn't living nothing at all, and somebody be in the service where they're at and get healed, and they say, I don't understand that. How can this man that's been evil pray for somebody? Well, right here is the key. Did you see what it said it took to be healed? Faith in who? Well, it's quiet in here. Y'all hear? He said, if you believe, what did he ask him? Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, that's what he's asking us this morning before we go any further. He wants to know, do you believe that I am able to open your blinded eyes? I want to ask us with our problems here this morning, things that you need God to do and help you with. Do you believe God is able to turn this around for you? I remember when I'd heard enough of the gospel in my young life that at 19 years old, amen, when I knelt there at the foot of my bed, amen, I hadn't heard Brother Ralph Cox or L.D. Moore or Don Rich. I never heard them preach. I can't remember ever hearing anybody preach, amen, but I heard enough, amen, from my mama and different things and it's little Sunday school classes, amen, that I knew, amen, that if I bent down on my knee, that God would lift the load of sin and shame off of my life. And I never really experienced it before in my life, but I felt it that night. I broke, my heart broke, my tears flowed, amen, because the Bible said we're saved by grace through faith, amen. And faith without works is dead. It has to be a faith that works in the way that it says, God have mercy on me, a sinner, and believe that he's going to have mercy. Well, I wish I could preach to you. God have mercy on Randy Webb this morning. My little kids are growing up. My little girl now, she wants to live for the Lord so bad. And she gets real, and you know, really a lot of the devil will get after him. And he'll just make it so hard on him. And some of you children here that are now grown up in adults, I remember dealing with you when you were little kids. And how just, you'd be so burdened. And you wonder, am I forgiven? You know, I'm going to tell you, amen, when Christ says, I forgive, amen, we can believe that he's forgiven. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he'll come back and say, you remember what you did? I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen, but you need to point him back to the blood and say, I believe and am sure that this man is the Son of God, and he is able to save even to the uttermost. Now, I know you're not getting this morning because you're a good, sanctified, sweet bunch of people. But brother, there's a world that's lost out there that can't hardly bring themselves to believe, amen, that God would forgive them of their dope addiction, of their alcoholism, of their murderings, amen. Come on now, but Christ will do it. Now, he's made a believer out of me now. He'll do it. It's almost hard for me to imagine people that I know have done horrendous things. Amen. And the Lord says, pray for them. I'll save them if they'll ask me. I can't hardly believe it sometimes. And y'all think, y'all looking at me like, and I'm a preacher, and I'm getting ready to go to Indiana and try to preach to people there in a camp meeting. Amen. You'd say, well, you ought to believe God will save. I do. But when you get real close to that, and you see how they've done God, and you see how evil they can be, and then have God say, you're not getting this morning. Amen. I'll forgive. Amen. He asked these two blind. Amen. I want to ask you in your trouble. You say, well, I'm not too spiritual. I don't know if I could ever be spiritual. You don't believe the Lord is able. Amen. Come on. The one that hung the stars into their sockets, the one that cast the moon in a spin, and it's been spinning ever since. You don't think he can put a big thumb on you, amen, and turn you around? I believe he can. You remember that little girl I've told about? I don't know how long it's been. She came here and prayed, or she come here to pray, never didn't know how to pray. I knelt down by her, and I said, you know, have you ever prayed? Never prayed. You know how to pray? Don't know how to pray. I said, well, you want to get saved? I'd love to be saved. I said, well, you've got to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. And she looked at me. She said, all of them? I said, yeah, every one I've committed, every one. She looked at the clock like, we're going to be here a while, brother. Amen. And I realized she didn't understand exactly. And I said, you don't have to name them, everyone. Because there's probably some she didn't even know about. Amen. Come on now. Amen. But Christ died. Amen. That he would be able. Amen. To save and keep and deliver you. Oh, come on now. Amen. I know this is simple. Amen. But listen, we need a move of God. We need to see the manifested presence of the Lord where it would leave this building. And go out there in the community. I've been in several revivals, and I remember the one in Garden Creek years ago, back in the early 80s. Sister Hildred,
you were in that meeting, weren't you? Weren't you in then, or
right after, Brother Mike? Because that's about the time you got in, wasn't it? Somewhere along in there. right before. And I'm telling you, that started out, that meeting started out just as a drip. I was just sick, and I was under such a load, a young preacher trying to preach, evangelize, and having more trouble than I knew what to do. And they kept calling for me to come, and I didn't even want to go because I felt so bad. But I remember they said, we'll start one night. You try to rest up and be there the next. I think it started maybe on Saturday night, and so I went on a Sunday night didn't hardly, if you were there, I don't know if y'all even remember, but I'd preach about 10 minutes or something like that, or 15. Amen. And somebody came to the altar. I believe Jimmy Hess, I believe, was the first person that prayed in that meeting, and that meeting started there. And I'm telling you, I've never seen anything quite like it. Amen. Conviction just fell, and people started trembling and shaking under conviction. Amen. Somebody got saved every night. Amen. For 40 nights in a row. 6 weeks. Brother Darrell, you were there. Amen. It was incredibly different meeting than I've ever seen. And people would come. Those that run the beer joints would come. Amen. People had heard about it. It became a brawl across the county. I'll tell you what. Amen. They don't hear much out of us anymore. They see us come in and see the parking lot full and see the new steeple and the door closed. Amen. They see us coming and going. But brother, we've got to take this out there. Amen. We come to church and we've got to entertain you. If we don't preach a 3-point sermon and blow your hat plumb in the creek, you're just bored to tears. But brother, listen, this is nothing to be bored about. It's the Son of God. He's working miracles. He's saving lives. He's sanctifying hearts. Amen. The world needs to hear it. Now we can go out there. Now I'm going to preach to you a little. Now you can go out there with this in mind, and you can get you a track and get you a line, and you can do a lot of talking. But I'm not talking about just talking. I'm talking about your life. If you are a sanctified saint of God, you are not going to be hid among the stuff out there. You're going to stick out like a light in a dark night. And I guarantee you, if you live for God and keep a sanctified nature, somewhere somebody's going to inquire about what in the world is driving you. Where did you get this? Where can you this be found? You don't believe it, do you? I believe it. Now, Christ told them to hold their peace. Now, here's my point on that. Let me say this in this point here. Christ had he was working on a schedule. He came here, he had a schedule to work. He had to go to Calvary. He did not want to be made a king on this earth. That was not the plan. And they came to lay hands and destroy him at one time, and he just disappeared out of their midst. He had a plan. That's why he told his mother, when his mother said they have no wine, he said, "Woman, why do you bother me before my time?" How many remembers? Huh? He had a time schedule. So, but you know, even though it was his will really for Mary just to hold her peace, Mary wouldn't do it. She said, "No, you can do it. I know your heart. I know you want to do it. You can do it. These people need wine for this wedding. You can do it." What did he do? He did it. These men knew. He said, "Now keep this to yourself." They could not keep it to themselves. I want to know, amen, kind of experience do we need? We need an experience where we just can't keep it to ourselves. You get on the job. You get acquainted with somebody. You really care for them. You really love them. You really appreciate them. You know what you'd want for them more than anything else in the whole wide world? What would you want for them? You'd want them to be saved. Is that right or not? You got a loved one, amen, that you love dearly. What would you want for them more than anything else? Well, I'd like to see them win the lottery. They could really, that'd really help them out, would it? I'll tell you something better than that. Amen. Something they really need. Amen. They need to meet this man, Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have him like you need him, then you ain't going to be interested in sharing him with nothing. You can't share something you don't have. Well, I wish I was a preacher here. Let's read some more. The Bible said, When he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said, "Believe ye that I am able?" I want to ask you one more time. What's your answer to that? What's your problem this morning? What's your trouble this morning? What is it? What's your problem? What is it? What is it you need? What I know, I could ask every one of you. Brother, I could start right here on the front. Brother Jeff, there's something you've asked God for this week. I know it has. I don't know. I know. Brother Zane, I know there's some petition you put up for God this week. I know. Brother Jason, I know. There's no doubt, Brother John, there's not a doubt in my mind. As busy as you've been somewhere on that road, that heart has went out. I'd like to see this, or I wish this, or that. Huh? Isn't that right? There ain't one in here. They probably ain't one, unless there's just somebody here that's totally dead to God. Huh? But I'll tell you, there's something in here, Brother Darrell. There's something you asked of the Lord. You've looked at this little kid. Lord, help me raise this young man. Somewhere or another, there's been, you might not even be no count. And you might have said, "Lord, I ain't no count. I sure like to do better." You might be here like that. Here's what I want to ask you about, whatever. Amen. It might be financial. You might have said electric bills do. Amen. Most of us are prospered, so you don't have that problem. But, brother, I can remember many days when I had electric bill coming up, and I wonder, where am I going to get this $50? Huh? It may be that. You may be here. You may have something new. You may have your future may be looking shaky and you want, but I want to ask you, do you believe he's able to do it for you? You know what they answered? They answered affirmative. Yes. Here's what happened. Listen to this. God help me. I love y'all. I wish I could do better for you. Listen to this. Then touched he their eyes and said this, "According to your faith, according to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame. Amen. Now, I'm about done, but let me read it. Let's see where he went there. And as they went out, I love this. You see this? He goes from one healing, one miracle, one good deed, right on into another. How many thinks that a child of God is the same thing? Huh? Come on now. How about it? How many thinks a child of God? Amen. He said, you know what Jesus said? If you say, he dwells in you. That's what John said. You ought to walk as he walked. What did he do? You know, John said that if all the books were written of the good things the Lord did in his 33 years, you know what he said about it? How many know? The world. You ever been to a big library? I've been down to the Buchanan County. They got a good library down there. They used to. It's a good library. You ever been to a big library? You go to the Library of Congress. Boy, I'd be a huge whopper, wouldn't you? But it said the world could not contain the volumes of books written about the good things that Jesus did while he was on this earth. Huh? And you know what he said to his disciples? Greater works than these shall you do. Haven't we got in the mode of always running in intensive care? It's always us. Huh? Now, I'm not trying to jump on you. I know you're looking at me. But that's the mode that we're in. We're always running in, needing patched up ourselves. We leave, we never think that nobody else needs help too. But brother, we need to get to the point where we get healed good enough to be able to go out and heal somebody else. Because we're his hands. We're his feet. You know, the goodness in this world, when you deal out there in the world, you know, you need somebody that if they get the opportunity to cheat somebody, they say, "No, I ain't going that route." They get in a fix and something filthy comes up and you just say, "No, I'm not going that way." Somebody needs help. Huh? Come on now. Somebody needs help. I bought a new phone at the house and I never did have my house phone never had what is that, answer, voicemail, or whatever you call it, where they, well, I had caller ID, but I didn't have the one where they talk back to you on that machine. You come home, I'm not sure it's a good thing. You go out of town 2 days, you come home, you got 35 messages, and on there, and I ain't making fun of her, but people, you know, they get your number, and they know where you're at, and people on there, you listen back, and people desperate. Look, preacher, I hate to bother you, but if you could give me $10, it really would bail me out. I mean, that was on my machine. I was stuff like that. If you could give me $10. Now you say, brother, yeah. I mean, people are in pitiful shape. Huh? And then over, it's like that every few days, somebody. Little girl's voice on the phone. And if you left a message, don't think I'm going to expose everybody here this morning. The little girl says, you know, will you call me back? Her little voice was trembling. Will you call me back, preacher? I like to go to Christian school. If I don't hear from you pretty soon, I'm going to have to go back to public school. And she just broke down crying. I really don't want to have to do that again. Boy, you ought to listen to that. It's heart-wrenching. And, you know, here's the sad part about it. We got every seat we've got up there filled.
You say, well, hey, that's not, you say, well, that's your business, preacher. I've got my own.
No, this is our business. I know we're living in a wicked, dark world. But, brother, we're supposed to be the light. We are the light. We are the light. I mean, the sorriest one of us, should I not say it like that? At our weakest moment, we outshine this old wicked world out there. Huh? I hear at school, and, you know, 90 kids, you know, there's some knotheads in there. I won't go into the details of it, praise the Lord. But when I look at them and compare to what I was, they're a bunch of angels. And don't tell them that because, you know, lose a little leverage, but I thank God for him. And I'm gonna work. There's a great need, and you say, "Well, it's too big a need. We can do what we can, can't we? Huh?" So everywhere the Lord went, I mean, he went from Jairus to the woman with the issue of blood, and the two blind men, and now this dumb man with the devil in him that can't speak. You know, the devil has a power, and I know people get sick because we live in a polluted world and disease and cancer. I don't know where cancer came from. The cancer is basically just the cells of your body turning vicious and devouring one another. It's just killing itself. And it's hard, but you know, but some sicknesses, the devil just gets in and oppresses somebody so bad that they can't hardly live. And we've got the remedy. Stand with me all over. God bless you. I said, Christ has the remedy.